I think I need to make a schedule next summer, and when you can take your vacation, when you can take, so that everybody doesn't take it at the same time, because the church our size, we need the people here. So I think next summer we'll have a schedule. And I'm just kidding. And that would never work. Okay, we've got a very busy morning ahead of us. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is not just a traditional prayer. It is a time to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit by faith, so that all that we do today will be glorifying to our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this humble assembly. We're so thankful for the many ways in which you've seen fit to use this assembly right here in the local fellowship and spiritual growth in the Word here, the internet, missionaries, and our young people. And Father, we just thank you so much for using this assembly in these ways and any other way that you have open for us, Father. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, James, let's begin with song.
The first two verses. Would you stand? 324, Higher Ground, the first two verses.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Though some way dwell where these are bound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Now number 337, the first and last verse of 337.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not cross the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Did you doubt? Okay, let's talk about some prayer time right now. Last week, we had Dan and Pat, missionaries to Liberia, and they told us about the Ebola disease. Well, an American doctor was in Liberia working to prevent it and working on it, and he died. He caught it and died. And so that's a serious issue. So please be in prayer for Dan and Pat as they go back in the middle of August. And be in prayer. This is, if this gets going uncontrollably, it's a dangerous disease. So please be in prayer for Dan and Pat in that respect. Let's see. Now, as far as prayer locally, Judith, tell us how your brother's doing. Okay. Now, do we have any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, sir.
My sister needs a heart valve replacement.
Ooh.
I pray that the Lord make the gospel real to her, in this situation.
Wow. Is it a time schedule thing when she has to have it?
By the end of August.
By the end of August. All right. Let's please. What's her first name? I'm sorry.
Molly.
Please. Let's please be in prayer for Molly, be in prayer for the doctors, and for wisdom in that respect. Thank you, Kip, for sharing that with us. Any other prayer? Yes?
Yes, I have a friend, Craig Glover, who's going in for surgery on Thursday for spinal surgery.
Who is this?
Spinal fusion done. A friend, Craig
All right.
Glover. He's a believer. He just prayed that the surgery goes
as planned. Thursday?
Yes.
All right, let's be in prayer for the surgery Thursday, for the doctors, and for him. All right. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Good news on Mike with that heart condition. The hospital called him the other night.
Yeah.
Come in for a new battery.
Huh?
Wow.
Very good. All right. Very good. All right. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Just be in prayer for a couple of our campers. Family situation is just really in turmoil right now. We knew it when we were at camp. It's tightened since they've been back. And, God knows who they are, but just there's some trouble.
Try this, people. You're a young person. You come to a camp. Everybody's energy, happy, talk about the Lord every day, sing about the Lord every day, 3 square meals a day. By the way, thank you, Jerry and Leslie, and Jim and Annelle. It was great food every meal. Thank you so much. So, this is what you're going on. You go to bed at a set time. Well, not really, but you get up and everything's going on, and you got to go home to turmoil. You got to go right back into the angelic conflict. Please be in prayer for all of them, but be in prayer especially for those that the Lord knows who they are, what's going on, and please be in prayer. I know one didn't even know where she was going to go home to live because they lost the place that they live just before she left. So please be in prayer. And do we have any report on that, Chris?
We don't, but Lori's going to be in contact with them.
Okay. So please be in prayer, people, and for these young people that are at camp, learn these things, and that. Any other prayer requests? Yes?
Paige flies back today, so just safety.
Okay. For her flight back home. Very good. That's Paige. And anything else? Okay. Yes? Okay. We'll be in prayer. Very good. Now, I learned some secrets at camp. And one secret I learned, Thomas, give Tish that computer for a moment. Come stand up here a moment. This guy turned 18 yesterday. 18! Woo! There were times we didn't know if you were going to make it. You know that. We're just thankful to the Lord that you made it. Now, at camp, Monday night, and for years I've been saying, how you doing, Tom? Good. Hey, that's good. At camp on Monday night, he got up and led the whole 106 kids in various salutes and things. Can you do the banana thing for us? Oh. Come on up, Mackenzie. Come on up. I want y'all to see this. I was shocked. I handle him with kid gloves, and this is what he does. Okay, here we go. Now, you got to tell them what they have to do. They have to repeat back. All right. Go, Thomas.
It's like a little skit. Basically, you go like if you form a banana.
You
just got to repeat after me.
Got to repeat after me, all right. Have y'all ever heard him talk so much just up to now? This is great. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, darling. Thank you, man. Thank you, Amanda. How you doing, darling?
Good.
Thank you, darling. Can y'all believe that? What have we been getting? Good. How you doing? Good. Good. I didn't know he could do more than three words in one time. He got up there and just talked away. Way to go, Thomas. Man, he's going to be a great leader, I'm telling you. There's not a doubt in my mind that God has pulled him through. He's got a great testimony and going to be a wonderful leader. Okay. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. That means in the church age, there's no percentage, no tithe, there's no amount, all this kind of thing. It's just the Holy Spirit leads you, people. That's the criterion in the church age. So, very important to giving. First of all, the offertory is for believers only. If you happen to come in here and have never believed in Christ as your Savior, by faith alone in Christ alone, this is no concern. This is a family issue. The offering is for believers only. But not just for believers. It's for believers who know how to be filled with the Spirit by faith. Just trust the Spirit. He fills you, He guides you, leads you, pours in His fruit, teaches you wisdom, and leads you in various things in life, like what to do with your money. It's a very important part of life. In the 9:15 study this morning, we studied Barnabas, whose real name is Joseph. I don't know if you know that. We know him as Barnabas. His name was Joseph. But as the apostles started calling him a nickname, Barnabas, that means son of encouragement. He was an unbelievable encourager. He just encouraged the apostles, encouraged other people. People, you know how important that is in life. Have those kind of people. He didn't have to be in the limelight. He wanted to lead. He wanted to encourage. That's what he wanted to do. And he sold some land, came in, gave all the money to the church, said, look, this is the beginning of the church age. I want to support this. Right after that, we learn about Ananias. Now, Ananias sold some land. By the way, no one asked Barnabas to do that. He didn't have to do that, but he did it. Ananias, he heard about that, so he wanted to get the same praise Barnabas got, so he sold some land. He's going to give it all to the church. He didn't do it. He and his wife kept back some of it. That's okay. But what he did, he told the church, I'm giving all that I made off the sale of this land. That's where he made his mistake, and he got into real trouble for that. Giving is personal. God doesn't have a checkbook up there checking out how much you give. It's personal. You're led in them, and by the Holy Spirit to give, you give. That's the whole point. You want to take that which you could take from the material world and invest in the invisible spiritual world. That's what you decide to do with your money. And it's your money. You can use it for the material. You can use it for the spiritual. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the many opportunities you give this assembly, the internet, missionaries, here in our own assembly, and with the young people. We just love it. And therefore, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior, by the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Yeah. Whatever you want to do. This morning, in the 1 Corinthians study, we studied this great man, Barnabas, one of the really great believers. And he went to Antioch, and he realized how great it was in Antioch. Gentiles were believing in Jesus Christ. And this was the first place where the word Christian was used. It's really not a term of endearment. The word Christian is an insult. It was meant to intimidate people not to believe in Jesus Christ. It meant little Christ. You can't think for yourself. No, you're not your own person. You're just little Christ. So that's where the first place it was in Antioch. But what he did, what Barnabas did, he encouraged them, went around, brought in more, and he said, you know what? They need some solid teaching. He left and went and found Paul and brought Paul back. And that caused me to apologize to the 9:15 class, and I want to apologize to you. Friday night, or Thursday night, was family night. Some of you adults may have come to that. And Chris Digg introduced me as the pastor, and I sat down and I went, you're just pitiful, Herman. You're pitiful. Because what I wanted to say, what I should have said was, listen, I may be the pastor of the church that sponsors this thing, but I don't run it. I have very little to do with it. Chris and Lori Daig and Larry Wise run it. Chris and I get together every August. We kind of go over maybe what subject we want. And that's about it. I'm in charge to be sure that the teaching is sound. We don't have any false teaching going on. But I don't run it. You need people like Chris and Laurie Daig and Larry Wise in your church, in your assembly. People that will take up the gauntlet and go with it. I have my responsibilities, they have theirs. And it was just a wonderful joy to watch Chris and Laurie Daig and Larry, the whole staff, put together a tremendous camp. So I'm just turning the whole rest of the morning over to Chris Daig. Chris, come on up and give him a hand. He doesn't want it, but I want him to have it.
It is an awesome blessing. It's an awesome blessing to be a part of camp. Sorry. It's humbling. It's amazing. And to watch all of these young people run around this past week and spend the entire week supporting each other and loving on each other and opening the Word of God was incredible. And so, first of all, it's not my camp and I don't run it. It's God's camp and He runs it. Because there's no way we could pull it off without Him. Plus, we can't pull it off without everybody that's a part of this congregation and so many people that aren't even part of this congregation that just support us. Whether it's prayer warriors, whether it's financial support, whether it's the staff that spend a week coming up to literally just get run into the ground. Sometimes it feels like you can hardly move your legs. In fact, we sat down on Friday. It felt like Saturday. On Friday, and we were talking, and all of a sudden, when we were sitting there, it was like I couldn't even hardly move my legs. It was just like I can't. And how in the world did we do this? Well, I guess part of it is, well, two parts. One, you don't have an option when you're up there to not move your legs. Because Ron will call the ambulance and you'll be carted off. But the second part is that you don't have an option to not be able to move your legs and get around because God says get up and move. And so there are many people that came in and ran hard all week, and it was awesome. It was amazing to be able to be a part of that. And then we have some folks that spend the whole year. So we'll take this week off. Kind of, because we'll still be putting stuff together and pictures out on the web and make sure that everybody can get... we'll still be returning lost and found items. that'll go on until January. But it's really an amazing opportunity for us. For y'all that are new to our church or visitors, this is our church. This is it. I don't say that this is it in any way other than the mighty few have taken something as a congregation and jumped on board and said, you know what, we are going to push this youth ministry because they are the future. They are the ones that will continue to carry the torch. And if nobody teaches them, then how are they going to know? And so that's why we are so passionate about it. It's not a church camp. It is a church camp where you come up and feel good and you run around and you sing and you praise. But it's also a church camp where you open the Word of God and you sit down and you study and you learn. And one of the things that we did this whole week was we spent a lot of time going to different passages. We covered a lot of passages. We spent a lot of time opening the Bible, because the one thing that I tell the young people and I tell the parents is that if we can't show it to you in the Bible, then be very, very careful about what you believe. We need to open the Bible and show you in the Bible, because the Bible is the Word of God. It's not what comes out of my mouth, right? It's not what comes out of a small group teacher's mouth. It's not what comes out of Fassel's mouth. If we're led by the Holy Spirit, then we can go right to the Bible and we can show you the truth. And our passage this week was John 8:32. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so, if you would, please open your Bibles for me to John 8:31, actually. We're going to do a couple things this morning. I'm going to talk to you for just a couple of minutes about some of the things that we taught your young people, your kids, our campers. And so John 8:32 says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And so the question was, there was two questions. One, what's the truth? And two, what's it mean to be free? But I want to back up for a second, if you would, with me to John 8:31, because this is Jesus. If you guys have a red letter Bible, then you'll see that this is Jesus talking. And it says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so the whole point was not to teach them the entire Bible, because we can't do it in a week, right? We can't do it in a lifetime. And for y'all who have spent your entire life, Pastor Maddox, 40 years of his life in the ministry, studying, I mean, the man studies 8 hours a day, five, six, until you got married, 7 days a week, right? So the y'all that are new, Pastor Maddox spent 65 years of his life as a single man studying the Word of God. And then he got married, and I think, what did you say? In order to be a teacher, you have to be single, but in order to understand the love of God, you've got to get married. And so at 65, was it? 65? 67, he got married to his beautiful wife, Judith. And the rest of it's history. But it's really about, if you hold to my teaching, it's the Word of God. It's the teaching of the Word of God, and this is the Word of God. This is it. And it can be taken way out of context, and it can be really spun around in a circle. And we talk to these young people about making sure that they understand how to open the Word of God, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how to make sure that the teachers who are teaching them can show them in the Bible, and that you read ahead of the passages that they're reading, and you read after the passages that they are reading to you, so that you understand the context. Because there is so much false teaching in the world today that's coming even from the pulpits of churches. And it's a tough place to be. So why not learn how to use this book, the Word of God? Okay? And so that's what we did all week. And one of the things that we got to, we were talking about taking off masks. Because, you know, we live our life. We take all these kids, and as Pastor Maddox was saying, we take them and we confine them to the camp. And they're all surrounded with people that are love the Lord, and teachers that are going to spend their entire week supporting them and teaching them and learning with them and loving on them, and it's a wonderful place to be. But then they have to go back to their homes. And some people have awesome homes and fantastic homes that support them and push them and open the Bible, and they pray together and they love the Lord together as a family. But there are a whole bunch of these kids that will go back to their homes or wherever they live, or someplace they don't even know is home. Yesterday, Friday, they showed up, and now they're back. They've gone from camp to being back in the world. And so they have to make choices. Every single minute of every single day, you have to decide. And I'm saying this not just to the campers, because they heard this on Friday before we sent them home, but to us all. Is a lot of us live in beautiful homes, and we have wonderful supportive family, and we have everything that life says is comfortable. But yet, do we open the Bible every single day? And do we spend our time reading the Word of God? And do we know the truth? Because that's where the freedom comes from. So, if you would, please flip back to Isaiah 40. And this is what I closed with on Friday morning with the campers. And then we're going to show a video, because I wanted you guys to see some of the amazing things that were going on up in camp. But in Isaiah 40, if you would read with me, Isaiah 40, and we'll start at verse 25, and I'll read the rest of the chapter. So it'll just take a minute. And I'm trying to make sure that I'm paying attention to time, because Faisal and Kerry have some awesome stuff to talk about what's going on in Pakistan. But starting at Isaiah 40, verse 25, and this is God speaking. It says, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded from my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Every single camper and every single staff gets to go away from camp. And every single one of us were whooped. Is that a true statement, you guys? Yeah, I don't know how many teenagers I had like laying on couches and on floors and other assorted places around our house on Friday afternoon, all of them in a coma. But when we send these kids home and when we go home, we've got to make a choice. And it is hard. It is extremely hard every single day to pick up the Bible and read it. It's hard to go out into the world and to run with our own strength. It's impossible to face the world on our own strength. But God says, look to me. I do it. I am the Lord. I am the creator of the heavens and the earth. I put the stars in the sky and I know them all by name. And I love you. And that was one of the things that we talked about with these young people this week, was this Bible, it's not an instruction book. It's a love letter from our Lord to us. And so open it up and read it and pray. And pray for these kids that go back out into the world and have to make decisions. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's a tough place to be a kid these days. It's a tough place to be a kid. It's an awesome place to be a kid. But the United States of America is a tough place to try to make decisions. And these parents and these kids that are making decisions every single day as to what they're going to do and what how they're going to believe and what truth they're going to walk in, they need our prayers. They need all of our prayers. And so we're going to enjoy a little bit of the video, and then we're going to talk for just a second, and then we're going to flip over to... actually, I'm sorry. We're going to do the song, right? I messed you up already, didn't I? So I walk in and I go, Thomas, we're going to do this, 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 and this. And now I changed it on him. So, Thomas, we're going to sing a song that we sang after camp. Then we're going to watch a video. And then I want to tell you about one little thing that we had going on this week that was fantastic, that was fun. But we'll go ahead and... which song are we going to sing, Thomas? This Is What You Do. So if you guys would please stand up and sing along with us. And let's see. Can I get some of the campers down here up front to lead us in this deal? Come on down. If you're a camper this week, come on down front. They don't want to see me. Trust me. I don't dance worth a darn. Come on. If you're a camper, have some of your staff, push these guys forward and come down with them if you would. Or push to that side, buddy. Go to that side. Your head's right in the middle.
There you go. Get them out there.
Oh yeah, the we have a band that comes down from Indiana. We're so blessed to have those guys. It's such an amazing ministry these guys have. From one of them came from Florida, but they're in school up in Anderson College, up in Anderson University in Indiana. And man, they just get these kids worshiping and rocking and praying together. And what a blessing they are to have to be a part of our ministry at the youth camp. And so the next thing I want to do is I want to show you a little video from camp. Lots of pictures, lots of fun stuff. And one of the things that we did this year was we did what's called a truth mutter. Has anybody ever heard of a tough mutter? I figured some of you might have participated in them, right? Sorry, Herman, I figured you were out there in a tough mutter at some point in time. In your... So a tough mutter is about a 10 to 15 mile obstacle course. And it's some significantly wild obstacles, like jumping over fire and climbing. I mean, diving off of these big platforms into neck deep mud and all this kind of craziness. And we did all of that. No, we didn't do all of that. The fire stuff, we tried to keep it tame. It was low fire, so nobody got hurt. We didn't want to start a bond. We didn't want to start the place on fire. No, we had an obstacle course. We called it the Truth Mutter, and each obstacle had a point of truth. And so the Word of God is life. The Word of God is alive and powerful. The Word of God is truth. And so the kids were all put together in teams of ages from fourth grade all the way up to 12th grade. And we had leaders that were the counselors, and they took off and ran these eight obstacles. It was about a mile, I guess, is probably the length of the distance, maybe a little over a mile if you took a look at it. And they did this around the entire camp as a team. And what we were trying to teach them was not only the points of truth, but also, hey, life is tough. Life's hard, and there's a lot of obstacles. And as a team, as the church body, as the family of Christ, we gotta lean on each other. There were some of these counselors that would literally, there was a wall that they had to go over. It was 4 feet high. Well, when you're 4 feet tall, that's a high wall, right? And so I had counselors that we had counselors that literally fell into the mud on hands and knees, and these kids were stepping on them to get over this wall. And that is service. That's life, guys. There are times when somebody's going to have to step on your back and push you face down into the mud. But you know what? You get up and you keep on running and you keep on loving them and you keep on supporting them. And that's what we're trying to teach these guys with the Truth Mutter. Now,
what he's not telling you is that once you made it over that wall, you landed in a big problem.
Yeah, hey. It says that, it's guaranteed in life that you will have tribulation. It's a question and a choice as to whether you'll have peace and joy through that tribulation. And so these kids, honest to goodness, Skylar, are you back there? How excited were you at the parent meeting when I told you you were going to get muddy? Skylar asked me 45 questions, all based on mud, at the parent meeting. We hadn't even got there, but Tyler, did you go through the mud? I mean, sorry, Skylar, did you go through the mud? You did, didn't you? She did. Everybody went through the mud. And that's kind of what it was all about, is, hey, there's lots of trials and tribulations, and you get over one obstacle, and guess what? Sometimes you land face down in the mud again. And then there's somebody who's coming over the wall right after you that picks you up and cleans you off, or maybe doesn't even clean you off, just picks you up and puts you on your back. We had a fireman's carry where the kids had to carry 40 yards. They had to carry somebody on their back for 40 yards, and then they went through a tire, and then they tire thing like the football players do, and then they had to switch. And there were kids that I saw that were half the size of the other kids, and they were carrying them 40 yards. And there were kids running back to help pick them up and keep them moving forward. Because that's what we do. That's the body of Christ. When you fall, when you find your Christian brother or sister that's fallen into the mud, or they've fallen face down, or they've fallen off the wagon, you don't walk away. You reach down, you pick them up, and you keep on moving forward, because that's what Christ did. You think we fell down in the mud. Christ was crucified on the cross. Play our video for us, Thomas. I want to show these guys some of the pictures from camp.
You'll see the before picture for their training, and then
Yeah. And then we'll show you a motivational video, then I'll turn it over to Fassel and Carrie.
Yeah. more beautiful than anyone ever. Every day, you're the same, you never change, never.
These are those. So hopefully you can see that I believe that all the kids had a good time. And even though the staff was all whooped, I think we all had an amazing time as well. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to turn this over to Fassel and Carrie. But if you would pray with me for a moment, I'd like to pray for all of these kids that we sent back into all of their trials and their tribulations and their environments that we obviously do not control, but God does. And we'd like to just pray for all of them that whatever God has in store for them, that they that He lights their path, and that the Word of God is a lamp unto their feet. And so, bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we praise You for who You are. We praise You for all that You do for us, all that You have done for us, that You loved us so much that You were willing to send Your Son, and all we have to do is believe. We don't earn it, we don't deserve it, and we never can. But You said it's a gift. It's a gift from You to us, the Creator to the created. Salvation is just for the taking. All we have to do is believe in You. And Father, we ask that all these young people that were exposed to the gospel, that were exposed to the truth, that we've had such a wonderful time loving on and enjoying and worshiping with, Father, we just ask that as we send them back out into the world, that the Holy Spirit will continue to guide their path, that will convict our souls and their souls to open the Word of God, to put their Bibles right next to their beds, wherever their beds or whatever their beds look like, and know that the comfort, the joy, the love, the peace all come from You. And it's a fruit of Your Spirit. Father, thank You for this wonderful time this week together as a church family, as believers in Christ. Father, we thank You with everything we have. We love You. In Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to turn it over, if you guys would bear with us for just a second, to switch the electronics here. That's one thing. We continue to advance in electronics. We got stuff everywhere. So I'm going to let Fassel and Carrie, they are missionaries and Bible teachers in Pakistan. And we had the pleasure of having them a part of our camp. This is the second year they've been a part, and they are such a joy to be involved with. And they're going to tell us a little bit about their work over in Pakistan and how we can support that.
I feel like a pilot. Or helper. Wow. What a wonderful week we have with all the kids and teachers and games. It's unbelievable. I got to spend time with the J crew, and we have awesome time together, fun, games, and good challenges. And I'm grateful for Pastor, our brother, and for everybody that given us the opportunity to serve with you guys, all these kids, and love on them, encourage them, and share the word of God. And that is a prayer I offered long ago when I was newly in USA. Lord, why you brought me here? What is your purpose? I know everybody come here and they get lost with the awesomeness, freedom, pursuit of every opportunity they have. And I ask God, why you brought me here? If you brought me here for reason, show me. And I want to serve you. That's why I'm here. And that was my prayer. Lord, whenever you think I'm ready, I want to go and serve you any way you can. So the youth camp is the answer of prayer that was offered 4 years ago in USA, in Chicago, by my computer when I was studying the Word of God. So it's a privilege and awesome blessing to serve the youth. And we have a wonderful time. I challenge all the young and teen and adults that was with me, not adults, but teenagers, that love Jesus Christ. And I give them 30 days challenge that if you are in the stage of the age that you can have a girlfriend, treat Jesus better than your girlfriend for 30 days and you will see the change, the fellowship and the relationship that you can have with Jesus Christ. And I told them that you know Him. You know about Him. My challenge is to get to know Him personally. So that was the challenge, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve with you guys and teach the Word of God and live out the Word of God before those souls that was trusted to me as a J crew and many others. So I want to offer a prayer before we launch into what God is doing in Pakistan and how God taken us from here to there and what God is doing. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the body of Christ. That is awesome privilege to be in the body of Christ as known by you that you are our Abba, our Father. So Father, as we are going to talk about what you have done and continually doing with your power, with your grace, with your love that is unchangeable, that only change life and never change on nobody, no matter how muddy, no matter how crazy and messful their life are, but you are the one who is unchangeable and your love is unconditional. So Father, your Spirit, help me to communicate and encourage and share what you have done in our life as a witness, as a small voice to your people. And thank you, Father, for this hour. We ask all these blessings and encouragement and words and phrase that I need to speak to your body. And I ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Grace Bible Church, many of you know, but some of them you don't know. My name is Faisal, like a castle. And that's the way I tell everybody, it's easy to remember and hard to forget. And we are blessed by God. God is using us in Pakistan. And that is just a small map picture that you can have a little bit visual view. That is a look like a Pakistan. And we are right there, city called Sahiwal.
Right, right near Sahiwal, right there.
Yep. And I want to take you guys our starting journey in Pakistan, how God took us from here to there, and then we will share in a little bit about what happening in Pakistan. That was the prayer center when I got married, and we started that prayer center in Pakistan, just small place, maybe half of this and half of them home. And we start worshiping, praying, and teaching, and God start changing life from there. And as it was growing up, as there was a persecution, as was there opposition, and we know that when you serve God, there will be opposition without a doubt. Christian life is full of test, trial, temptation, plus peace, plus comfort, plus support from Almighty God of who created everything. So from there, God took us to the other colony called Christian Community or Christian Colony.
We ran out of room in the other place.
Yeah.
People sitting and standing outside wanting to hear Bethel teach the Word of God from, well, when he was there, from there, and then through the internet when he came to the United States.
Yeah, I was teaching online when I was in Chicago, and we had a little bit extra freedom. We were using a speaker, loudspeaker, and that speaker was reaching about 5 miles. 5 miles, and a lot of Muslim women and a lot of mosques come together. 1.5 years later, they said, "Sorry, don't do that. We have already put a complaint against you. Our wives, when they make breakfast, they don't recite the Quran. They're reciting the Psalms. They are reciting the Psalms and the Bible verses you've been teaching." And the special force came to shut down. So, but somebody from inside informed us to be prepared. They are going to, you know,
they're going to destroy it. But what we did, we took the whole speaker off the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. And a lot of people afterwards, that after speaker was closed, they were saying, "Why we don't hear those messages anymore?" So we told them the reason. And this colony is also found on a garbage dump, was given to a Christian to just squat there, isolated place. So God allow us to go into that area, bought that building, and from that building, this is the first cross we put it. It's a reflecting glass, and birds often come and they see their own image and they just, you know, make a lot of sounds, and sometimes they get angry. And throughout the day that will reflect and people hardly can see, but it is awesome testimony. We put it over there.
This is the inside of the church.
We have like an L shape, one side for the women's, another side for the men's, and the middle is for the kids. And this is the, yeah, these two are the school rooms, and the courtyard is used for the bigger meetings when we have people from our villages. God is using different seven, we going to different seven villages and teaching their kids and parents and sharing the Word of God. And this is a inside court. That was the last meeting we have in Pakistan on Resurrection Sunday.
So all the villages come in for Resurrection Sunday, so we have to use the courtyard because the church.
Yeah. And that was the friend of the church, and Lord bless us to start a Grace Academy Christian mission school over there. And it was the answer of Carrie's prayer that she wanna open a school in USA to just freely to talk about Jesus with the kids. But God answered in Pakistan. So these two rooms also built it, and we have a grand opening on last mission in Pakistan and it was awesomely. There was a lot of conflict for that building, but everything worked out good. As you can see, those electric wires.
To finish that building because of those electric wires. And it was actually from the preaching from the other church that they just held us in court. We couldn't finish it because we had the. Anyways, it's a long story. But
yeah. So that building was finished, and recently God blessed and provided the money for. We are again rain out the room. We have more than, I think, 128 kids in our school, so we have to have another two rooms. So this is also the place is going to be used. Yep, it's being built right now, and these are our kids from. And this is our Bible study that is take place every 4 days of the week, and they learn about the scriptures, and currently we are teaching the fruit of the Spirit. That was our theme passage for the Christmas care package we did, and Lord, allow us to have a 620 packages goes out with the fruit of the Spirit, Christian's home, non-Christian's home, and it was a blessing. So this is the Bible study that take place in Grace Academy. And another blessing, we were praying to have a house, safe house, orphanage, and plus house that any broken life, any painful story full of people that can come and live there, and orphans and widows and poor people that can't afford and they are abused by their villages and want to be educated. So Lord, open that place there. We call that 316 Children Home. And it's a wonderful story we put on our newsletter. If you guys get some time, you can check on. It's in the February newsletter about the 316 Children Home. Right now, we have 19 kids. 15 kids from the village, 23 that we've been serving from past over 3 years, and they were rickshaw from there back and forth to Grace Academy School, but it was very hard to continually to, you know, teach them. They will go back to their old way and speaking the same language, and it was also pressurized from the villagers that they should not go. And they should be slave as their, you know, whole family are to them. So the family requested, please take our kids, train them, feed them, clothe them, and we want them to come to know Christ personally and serve them, serve Him personally. So 15 kids from Village 23, and we have a 4 orphans that also, it was a blessing. 2 of them, mother and father, father was just recently passed away, and there was no hope for them. So on God's timing, God opened 316 Children Home, and the scriptures, that was a great encouragement for Carrie when she was having a daddy hole in her heart, that she was, you know, seeking for the love and discouraged, and there was no one to, you know, cover her or wrap her with her father's arm. So that was her daddy's hole, and she put that scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:18, I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, thus says the Lord, all God Almighty. So that's the scriptures, put it there, and that's the 316. Mm-hmm.
We also told all the kids in the community that you just come
on that red door and you just say John 3:16. If you're hungry, you can come in and we'll give you a meal and we'll see what your need is.
Yeah, so just knock the door, say 3:16, and boom.
So that was a prayer of 7 years that answered abundantly. And there's more information. These are the four orphans that cut the ribbon at the grand opening. And 15 of them, 5 of the 19 are spiritually adopted, and there's still 15 more that we want to encourage you guys to pray about, to see if you'd like to give monthly toward them, pray for them, and just bring them under your wing and watch them grow up through each time that we come in and give a report. So 5 of them have been spiritually adopted by families here in the United States.
Yeah, he lost it. Yep. So these are the 3:16 children home, kids, and they are blessed. Their faces are changed. Their
diet.
Souls, good diet.
Yeah. Some of them, really were in bad shape.
Mm-hmm. This is one of them, our widow that is from the community. She was also neglected from her own family. And every time she said, Pastor, whatever you have for me, I love to do that. So that was her answer also, prayer. Now she served with the kids. She come in the morning, cut the veggies, and take care anything that need to be done, and she sleep with the girls' room for due to safety reasons. So, and she's the happiest bird, and she's blessed beyond imagination. And that was just what God has done. And now I want to talk about the last mission. We were in Pakistan almost 6 months. So this is the month of November. One gentleman from Texas somewhere.
Belton,
Texas. And he encouraged the families. Husbands and wife, that was the woman conference.
Marriage conference.
And it was a blessing for him and also for a lot of family. Was inspired, encouraged, and got to know more valuable truth from the Bible as a husband and wife and their role.
We had a lot of fun. In Pakistan, the women stay on one side, the men stay on the other side. And that's the way it always is.
Uh-huh.
This time, we did the first session that way. And then the second session, we asked them to go with their partner.
Yep.
And they were laughing and giggling. Doing something like that they normally don't do.
Yeah.
But they had so much fun and they began to open up. It was really a wonderful first marriage conference.
Yeah, the last conference we did, it was just the wives. And all the wives after message was done, and wife said, I wish my husband here. Hear this. Hear that. I said, okay, next time we will do that. So now husband and wife were there, and any phrase or statement that was related to them and what was happening in their home, in their marriage life, they elbow each other. hear that. And it was fun to watch them when they were sitting together. And that is a star that me and Carrie build in Pakistan the Christmas month. And we put that on, and people from miles, they can see that glowing star. And then they ask question, what is that star about? So you can tell. Yeah. So we can tell the story of, what took place in Bethlehem. And easy way, nicely, smoothly, without persecution, you
right.
can make your
people,
gospel clear.
If people ask you a question, you're able to answer it. If they ask you the question, then you can answer it. But you can't proselytize. You can't go there and just start telling them something. So we're always thinking of different ways, like the signs on the 3:16 home. They say, what does that say? And then you get to say.
We put
Bible
that,
says,
yeah.
This. And, you don't say, well, I'm telling you this. You just say, the Bible says this, and this is what God means by this, and all this stuff.
Yeah, we did that purposely for in English, so mostly people don't know. They wanna know what does that mean. So it's a wonderful way to catch their attention. And now we are in our villages for outreach for Christmas care package, and it was a blessing not only for the kids but for the parents, that they got to learn that salvation is a gift of God, that the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is a awesome, you know, blessing for them to memorize and learn. So we had in English and also in Urdu all the kids, and a lot of
Mm-hmm.
A lot of adults, they got to even color, because in their time they don't have a color. So I said, hey, please get advanced. So they got to enjoy the coloring pages and learn the scriptures, and it was a blessing. That's another blessing took place in Pakistan. It's a privilege to have a Adobe van in Pakistan. From past years, and all of the missionary was came through in Pakistan, and we always was concerned that God keep us safe, because we have to rent from Gentile, and you never know what kind plan they can come up to have a robbery or kidnap, and especially missionary from, you know, USA. So that was a blessing that God, brand new Adobe van, 7 passengers with a cross on instead,
and gospel coins on the
and Urdu gospel coins. Anybody come through and they will ask, what is that shiny thing? Here's John 3:16, another side, John 3:36. If you believe, you are in and have eternal life. You don't believe, you are out, and make a choice. Mm-hmm.
How are we going to distribute all these Bibles? But God answered by giving us a van.
Yep.
So
through this van, I was able to do 5 big pastors, evangelists, and a leadership conference, and using Pastor Gene Cunningham book called the Basics book, and it was over 500 books was distributed to pastors, teachers, seminaries, and different places. And one conference, they brought the speakers. Those are speakers and a stabilizer right there. And that was the transportation they have. So they brought the sound system. I never got to use. Electric was off whole day. But it was blessing everybody got to enjoy. And one of them, a great organization, Christian organization, I don't want to mention their name. We can tell you guys later, because it's going to be recorded. So they provide us 1,900 Bibles plus 2,000 books. It's called Essential Study Guide. It was done by Pastor Drew Freeman from Village Ministry International. Their curriculum, and they let us to translate and print it and purchase the Bibles for people who don't have a Bible. So we begin our Bible distribution with our school, and these are the third grades up, and they're so blessed to have their own Bible as their possession, and they were so happy that they were bringing, like, we have a donuts here, they have a sweet, Pakistani sweet, they were bringing in our my home, and I said, what is that about? You gave our kids a treasure. The treasure that is, you know, not can be paid, nobody can put a price, but you guys brought as a freely, as Bible says, and gave it to our kids, and they were so happy, and their eyes were full of tears with the gratitude that they received the Bibles.
And their kids were also making covers for their Bibles, so they could stuff with them. They really respect it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't put the Bible on the floor.
Yeah.
They don't put it near their feet. They have a
high respect for the Word of God.
We put a bookshelf over here in the church for them to put it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly kids wake up every morning about 5 o'clock and they will come to church. So we have a morning meeting and mostly kids will come with their Bible and study. And we've been currently going through the book of Ephesians from past couple of years.
4 years.
Oh, sorry, 4 years.
We're almost, well, each Christmas we have a certain theme. Last year was 7 a.m., this year was For the Spirit. Now, this coming year is going to be
The Armor of God.
Because Bethel will be just about there.
Yeah.
So the children and the parents will be listening. So we've been waiting for the Armor of God.
So, Lord, allow us to go from, what is called that?
Slum area
to churches beyond, you know, our imagination. So over 1,500, yeah. Over 1,500 Bible was distributed with about 1,600 books that was given to people, and we had a Bible race for them to introduction the Bible, how many books, how many the writers, how many chapters, how many verses, and those kids memorize. And it's essential information, but it's very important over there.
Bethel really did a fantastic job bringing them through scripture from Genesis all the way through at least 10 to 12 scriptures that talk about the treasure that they have in their hand. And he taught them for a whole hour before we did have some fun and have them open the Bible and have a Bible race. We didn't want to just drop off these Bibles to the pastor and say, God bless you. We wanted to present it in a way that they would never forget.
Yeah, so they have a wonderful introduction of the Bible, and we got to discover a lot of painful stories. This woman standing with me, she got Bible for her granddaughter. And one Sunday service just like us, taking place, unknown people from Gentile came with AK-47s, start shooting people, and total 16 people were killed on Sunday morning, and 13 members was of her family.
Her granddaughter, what she did was she put her hand over her granddaughter and she laid on her, and they were
flipping the body.
Bodies. For some reason they didn't flip her because she had so much blood on her anyway.
Yeah.
So her granddaughter has been taken off to another country for her safety for some reason. And so she said, please give me a Bible for my granddaughter. So that's special.
So you can keep her in your prayer, and her name is like a Sardara, like a star.
Sardara is star.
Yeah, star, you can say star. And this is our two-man team, goes on a motorcycle and distribute Bibles. And it was That's my brother Chris.
He's a new disciple that has just joined our team.
Vishal and Chris.
He's an awesome
Yeah, and these are the places that was safe for Carrie to go. So Carrie went.
Oh, he's
Whoa. And.
That's what we do in the last year.
Yeah, that's last year.
What we do during the summer, and this is what we tell the other churches and places that we go to.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the last time my team. So
this is another camp, the one we just came from, Central Arkansas Youth Camp, all in a circle of prayer.
So we have a lot of story to tell, and I know you guys are tired, and I have to catch the flight. If you guys have any question, please ask, feel freely.
Also, we have these.
Yep. Yeah, and it will be available back there, right, Mr. Chris?
Yes.
So, our little bio and a prayer request and how to reach us. We are available on Facebook. Yeah.
Your newsletter, does it go out on email?
Uh-huh.
You can go on our website, which is also there, and you can put your name in a little part that's on our front page, and I'll add you to the contact list.
Yeah.
And so you'll
email, which is electronic and also hard copy, you can prefer. I think we send hard copy.
Some people don't have an email. Some people don't.
Yeah. So God is doing awesome work in Pakistan, and I just want to say one thing before we close. God does not need our ability, only our availability. I know He provides everything. And if we catch that phrase and that statement, that He got the power, and we just need willingly to be a vessel of honor, He will use us. And I want to encourage you. You don't have to go to Pakistan and Africa and somewhere else. You got your mission here in your neighborhood. And you have the message. You have a wonderful, clear gospel. I was looking at one book. There was a title, and two monkey rubbing their head, and a bottom was the gospel. The title was gospel. The title was, they were confused. There are so many people are confused about the simplicity of salvation and simple message of gospel. You guys got it. Simply, Pastor Human already said at least 20, 30 times in two, three sessions at the camp. Simply, believe in Jesus Christ. You have nothing to do with whatever you can bring. Simply, I'm here to receive the gift. So please, go and bring the lost kids to the family. In your neighborhood, anywhere you can go. You still have that freedom, and I enjoy that freedom. Simple phrases. Simple phrases. I remember in one morning at the convenience store, and there was one lady, I said, good morning. She said, good morning. I said, wow, how are you? She said, fine. I said, wow, this is awesome day. It's a good day to live and good day to die. She said, what? She said, what? I said, you know, let me tell you. It's a good day to die. I know I will be with Jesus Christ in His glory forever. She looked at me. And I say, you know, it's a good day to die and it's a good day to live, to glorify Him on the earth for His sharing His gospel. And I walk away, and she sent somebody. She started talking to the one who was driving me. She said, that kid, he know how to approach people and not offend them and make his point. So you have a freedom. Use whatever you want to use to bring all people to the saving knowledge of Christ. Still, that freedom. Please use that freedom. And you guys are blessed, and we are again blessed. What was the phrase? God bless with our socks. What was the phrase?
God blesses our socks off.
Yeah, God bless our socks off beyond our imagination. So please use those blessings to bless others. Thank you very much for your attention and for awesome donut that keep me up. And I want to hand it to Pastor, our brother. And he will finish the race.
Apostle, thank you very much. Give a good hand. Very good. I love that God gives us the opportunity. Africa, Pakistan, Mexico, same place that God opens up. Now, I'm going to take a chance. Campers, you got to show this assembly something. What did we study this week, campers?
Truth.
What is truth?
What really is.
Well, what really is?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. How do you know that?
Psalm 119,
160. What does Psalm 119:160 say?
Oh,
good. Is that all that's truth?
No.
Oh, there's more? What else is true?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, how do you know that?
John 14:6.
And what does John 14:6 say?
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Oh, is that all?
No.
Oh, there's more? What else is true?
The Holy
Spirit. The what?
Holy Spirit.
Oh, okay. All right. How do you know that?
John 14:17.
Which says?
Spirit of truth.
All right, here you go. That's what we learned at camp. People, I just wish you all could come up there, and not just Thursday night. just drive up and walk around any of the days and just watch what the staff is doing, the young people are doing, and it's powerful. It is really powerful. It's not built on emotionalism. I used to go to camps where they'd get you all spiritually emotional and everybody'd be crying and missionary to Africa and I want to do this and I want to do that. People, I want to be saved again and on and on and on. None of that goes on. There's certainly a lot of emotionalism, but it isn't like we force it on them. It's built on the word of truth, and that I love. And now we're just getting ready now to start for 2015 and another challenging year. And I say that, and I think Chris Dagg just fell back off his chair. But anyway, 2015.
Bring it on.
Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call men like Vassal and his wife Gary, that you call them from their country, from his country, to tell them the gospel. Come over here and share with us what they're learning, and that there are those who want to know the truth. There are people around the world, in a Muslim world, that just want to know the simple truth of the love of Christ. We love that. We thank you for that. Pray, Father, you continue to be with Pastor and his wife. Father, we thank you so much for the young people that you sent to the camp this year. We pray, Father, now, setting up the barrage, setting up that they will concentrate. We pray that your Spirit will convict them of things that they learned each day. Each day, something that they learn in camp will come back to their soul, to their mind, and guide them. And Father, we just pray now that you'll give us an equally strong opportunity in 2015, for whatever number of kids you send us, to teach them the truth of your word. Father, we thank you so much for Chris and Lori Dagg, Larry Wise, all the staff, everyone that comes and works with them in this church. We thank you so much for the opportunity to pass on the banner of truth to the next generation. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.
Exactly.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that.